If you are starting to listen to this podcast today, you have already made the decision, the bold, the courageous decision to get off of full auto. I commend you. I'm kind of air clapping my hands right now. It's a great journey. You simply put, you're going to get better photos. You're going to enjoy your photos more. It is definitely the way to go. It's not without its small hurdles, little speed bumps, but my point here is to not really convince you as to why you're listening to this because you want to do it and you know it's probably the better way. But I want to convince you, or I want to at least explain the merits, and I want to talk you through the different ways to go from auto to manual. A lot of people do not shoot on full manual. Heck, I barely even do, but I'll explain exactly what I do, my path along the way, and why you can stop at aperture priority mode and be just fine. Friends, welcome to Getting Off of Full Auto, the journey to manual. So like I mentioned before, I'm not here to give you all the reasons and convince you why you should get off of full auto. If you're comfy on full auto and that works for you, that's great. But the thing is that there are other options. And you know, the first thing I want to say, we're going to actually talk about this great mostly auto mode known as program mode, P for program. So really the gist here is that I'm trying to make you realize that it's not this big scary endeavor. You don't have just two options, full auto and full manual. There are so many ways in between. And based on the questions I've gotten over the years of what each mode does, I realized that it's worth explaining what these different modes on your little dial, your little camera wheel do. What is aperture mode? What decisions does a camera make for you? And what decisions do you need to make on that mode, et cetera, et cetera? So we're going to go through the few different modes, getting that journey from auto to manual. Stopping first at the P mode, the P for program. This is the simple graduation mode from full auto. If you've been shooting on full auto and mostly happy, but know you're ready to move on from that, the very first thing I want to tell you to do is get yourself on P mode. And in fact, even for those folks that are on my photo safaris worldwide that haven't moved off of auto, I can easily convince them to go on program mode because it's so similar. There's almost no difference. So that's the reason why you should really consider this mode first and foremost. Basically, P for program, it still does, of course, full autofocus. It chooses the aperture for you. It chooses the shutter speed. The only real difference is that you have the creative control to change other things like your white balance, et cetera, et cetera. So let me say that again. It's really important. It doesn't actually make you choose any decisions. It just gives you a few more creative controls that when you're on that little green square or that green auto part of the dial, you just have zero chance, zero option to change anything. So what can you change? What are the routine things that I'm trying to change? Well, if you've seen any of my other presentations or heard other webinars and podcasts, you know one of the most helpful tools for photographing nature, wildlife, landscapes, travel, et cetera, is exposure compensation. You cannot change the exposure on full auto. In fact, full auto is it's so error-proof because it doesn't let you fuddle with any of this stuff. And that's great if it's your first time picking up a camera, or you're within the first season or first year of using a new camera, or a first time using a camera in general. But when you start getting these creative controls, it opens up a whole new world. So exposure compensation is a big, big one. What this does is this allows you to adjust your exposure, meaning your camera will choose the appropriate aperture and shutter speed based on the conditions on program mode to either lighten or darken your photo. Usually it's this little plus or minus button somewhere on your camera. You can hit that, dial the wheel, plus or minus, and you're actually injecting more light or less light into your photo to compensate the exposure. This is the exposure compensation tool. So this is hugely important. The next one is gonna be choosing your white balance. On full auto, you have no control to switch off of auto white balance. And if you've heard me talk about white balance before, you know it's kind of a sticking point to me. I think that the camera gets it right maybe about half the time, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. But I do try to, and you'll notice I'm going to talk about this more as we go in this journey together from auto to manual. I want to limit the number of decisions my camera makes for me. I want the camera to listen to me. I want it to behave. When I tell it to do something, I want it to do it. But I don't want it to think without my input very often. So this is a really, really big step is by choosing your white balance. Starting with auto is great. You're going to probably notice that when you're shooting indoors or shooting in natural light or different light like sunrises and sunsets, it may not get it right. If you can choose that white balance, you're going to get more like the scene that's before you. You're going to get more like the vision that you have and more of what your eyes are actually seeing because you have that creative control. So that's another really, really big one. If you want more tips on white balance, I do have white balance episodes and I do have white balance baked into a couple of other specific web episodes here. The other thing is customizing ISO. Now, this is something that people that are just moving from auto to program mode might not want to do right away. ISO is another one of those sort of semi-complicated steps, kind of like how aperture or shutter speed would be. But nevertheless, if you start using your ISO buttons and start changing that without having to change aperture or shutter speed because you're on program mode, it's a great way to learn ISO and learn what it does and what the opportunities are. What happens to the shot? What happens to your shutter speed and aperture when you double or halve your ISO? So again, being on program mode allows you to change that ISO, but a lot of times I'll just recommend my folks stick with auto ISO for the time being until you're ready to make another little graduation within this mode and actually start setting your ISO. Depending on your camera make and model, sometimes a camera will or will not let you change these other things on full auto. So program mode sometimes enables you to get on different drive modes. A drive mode is basically the motor that takes more and more photos per second. We usually see the term frames per second or FPS as the main terminology here, but your drive mode allows you to change whether you just take a single shot, take multiple shots as you hold down the shutter, and really how fast or how many shots per second your camera allows you to take. It's not always super straightforward as to how many shots per second you want to take. You'd think you want to take as many as possible, but that's not always the case because sometimes we have just a very sensitive trigger finger. And if we hold that shutter down a little bit too long on one of these high frame rate cameras, we'll take 10 shots without even realizing it. So there is a balance. There is sort of that happy middle, but sometimes by going from auto to program mode, all of a sudden now you have control over this drive motor. Do you want to take a continuous amount of shots, which is so great for wildlife photography? Do you want to drop it down to just one shot for every time you press the shutter, which is really great for landscape mode? So drive mode is another thing that might become available to you as you go to program mode. Another really key thing is your metering mode. So metering is a thing that basically makes your camera decide on how much light it lets into the frame, into the sensor. And this is really good because it's going to choose your aperture, it's going to choose your shutter speed for you. So remember, it has to make these decisions based on what it thinks is a proper exposure. There are usually three or four different settings to get your metering modes on. You can have, in Canon's terminology, an evaluative metering. This is where it evaluates the entire scene and it decides based on pretty much frame to frame, edge to edge composition. You can have a center weighted metering, which means that it only chooses the stuff in the middle of the frame. This is good for like portrait photography where you don't really care what's going on behind the person or behind the animal. And then there's often spot metering, which means just the dead middle of that frame. So the center point of the center of the frame is the only thing it pays attention to. And this is particularly good with small wildlife photography like birds, et cetera, where, you know, a bird might be in the brush or it might be backlit and you just need to get proper exposure for the dead middle of the frame. I'll often use this spot metering in place of switching to a center weighted metering. Usually it's, to me, it's just switching back and forth between this evaluative and this spot metering. Terminology differs wildly between camera platforms. So for instance, the same evaluative metering for Nikon is called matrix metering. So you really ought to check your camera's manual, do some Google searches to see exactly what yours is called. But usually the icons tell you enough. With icons in your menu system, you'll figure out which one evaluates the whole frame versus just the middle. They're pretty good with the graphics. So as you can see, there are a lot of merits. There are a lot of possibilities when you go off of full auto onto this very, it's sort of graduating to, you know, the first level beyond. P for program mode, highly recommend it, especially for folks that have been shooting for a while on auto and just, they're not sure if they're ready to make that leap, but they know they need to and they just want some sort of step that doesn't hurt too much. It doesn't take a lot of extra workflow. It's not going to result in errors that mean missed photos. Program mode is a great next step. Once you get familiar with this, one of the things I really recommend people do is start paying attention to the aperture settings, attention to the shutter speed settings that the camera gives you. Remember, on program mode, it chooses both those things for you, so you don't have to think about it. But what you ought to do is, as you're starting to depress that shutter and take the photo, the camera, as you focus and as you hold that shutter halfway, it's gonna start telling you, usually in the LCD screen, usually within the viewfinder, it's gonna tell you what that aperture rating is. It's gonna tell you what that shutter speed is. And I think simply by spending some time, for however long you rely on program mode, spending some time just seeing what typical essentially pairings are, pairings of aperture with shutter speed, it's gonna really help you when you go to the next step, which is aperture priority mode. Now, aperture priority mode is a mode that I shot on for many, many years. In fact, it was basically the end of the line for me until camera technology came around and I have this new technique for my sort of semi-manual mode. I'll talk about that in the next section here. But aperture priority mode is not just the next step, but it is the final step for a lot of folks. Simply put, what aperture priority mode does is it allows you to tell the camera what aperture, what depth of field you want, and then it chooses the shutter speed to correspond to the exposure. So as you open or close that aperture, it lets in more or less light, and the camera then balances, it's seeing the amount of light in the scene, it's evaluating with its metering modes, et cetera, and it's gonna tell you, it's gonna decide for you what shutter speed it's going to give you. So you don't have to make any choices. It's automatically assigning the shutter speed to the shot based on the aperture rating you ask it to do. So this is really, really helpful because what you're now enabling yourself and your camera to do is basically differ between depth of field. Depth of field is one of the most core tenets in photography because it allows you to get things essentially in the focus you want. It doesn't do the focusing, of course, that's the focusing mechanism, but it allows you to differentiate between a classic portrait kind of shot where you have this blurred background or a classic landscape shot where everything's in good focus. It also allows you to decide to let in more or less light based on your surroundings. Sometimes when you're shooting in really early morning or late evening settings, this is very common in wildlife photography, we have to use a very big aperture or a small aperture number to allow us to let in as much light as possible. So that way the camera can choose a reasonable shutter speed. So that way you can either freeze the motion or minimize your handshake, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just like moving on from full auto to program mode, if you're going from full auto all the way immediately to aperture mode, I still endorse that. You don't have to take that step to program mode. What this does now is it opens your world to a lot of possibilities with that custom ISO, with your white balance, with exposure compensation, and other things based on your make and model of camera. So aperture still allows all those customizations, but it allows you one more. There's really just one more step beyond program mode, but it's a big step because you do have to tell it what aperture you want. That's why if you're not super comfortable with photography, if you don't quite understand what aperture numbers are, well, if you don't understand that, definitely listen to some more of my podcasts because I talk a lot about that stuff. But it does require you, but it allows you to integrate depth of field decisions in your photography. As an alternate sort of parallel way you can move forward, if you are going from program to the next mode or auto to the next mode, instead of aperture priority mode, you can actually move to what's known as shutter speed priority mode. And oddly enough, based on the camera platform, this has, again, different terminology. For instance, Nikon, on their wheels, they have a little S for shutter speed. On Canon, it has a little TV for time value. I don't know who and why they decide these things. If you are confused, you can certainly look it up in your camera's manual or online. But nevertheless, this next level is kind of parallel. Again, parallel to aperture priority mode. It's not necessarily better or worse or a different step. Because simply put, all it does is instead of choosing the aperture, you are choosing the shutter speed, and the camera is then choosing the aperture for you. This comes in to be really useful when you are doing long exposure photography. This might be for silky waterfalls or water movement in rivers. It might be nighttime photography, although I will probably advocate to you a full manual on that. But that's the next part. But yeah, if you're trying to do a slow shutter speed, or if you're conversely, if you're trying to do a really, really fast shutter speed because you know you have to freeze the motion of the monarch butterflies flying in the air or the polar bears sparring on the edge of Hudson Bay, and you know, oh gosh, yeah, my photo leader is telling me we really need a 1 over 500 shutter speed to get the shot or to freeze the motion. We really need a 1 over 1,000 shutter speed to freeze that cheetah as it's running at top speed towards that gazelle. That's when I pop it on TV mode or shutter speed mode, whatever your camera wants to call it. I can dial in the shutter speed, and then it's one less step because my camera chooses the aperture for me. I don't have to worry about it. So shutter speed mode does have its uses. Again, I don't use it all that much, but when I do use it, it comes in handy in a big, big way. You still, of course, have all your other creative controls with white balance, exposure compensation, ISO, et cetera, et cetera. But it's basically the reciprocal to aperture priority mode, where one thing you choose, one thing the camera chooses. We have now come to the grand conclusion of our tour de camera wheel. We're moving on from full auto to manual. Manual is indeed sort of the final mode. I mean, there's not much more customization or more work you will have to do than being on full manual. Full manual, it's like combining aperture and shutter speed priority modes in the sense that you have to choose both. This is indeed a rather advanced mode. It's pretty easy to mess it up. It's pretty easy to way over or way underexpose a shot. When you think about it, if you're dialing in, say, an f5.6 and 200th of a second shutter speed, the difference between a lot of light and a lot of dark could just be a few clicks of that dial. How will you know to go to 1 over 800? How will you know to go to 1 over 500 or 1 over 40? So it is tricky. It takes a lot of learning, a lot of practice. The best way to get there is by using these other modes first. But I'll tell you, I'm not even at full manual because I don't personally think it's worth it. I am not at full manual. I have found a sort of in-between stage at this final step of the process where I do choose the aperture, I do choose the shutter speed, but I let the camera choose the ISO. I actually put my camera on auto ISO. I give it the full range all the way to the lowest to the highest values the camera is capable of choosing, but I will choose the aperture and I will choose the shutter speed. I have found this to be a really, really fantastic way forward for a few reasons. One is that one of the easiest, most perilous way to get botched photos is to have too slow of a shutter speed. And when I say too slow, it could be too slow because you can't minimize your own hand shake or hand movement, or it could be too slow because the thing you're trying to photograph is moving and you need to get a relatively precise shutter speed. So the first reason I love this full manual is because you can control the shutter speed. You can control the minimum that you would need for a certain shot. The other great thing is that you can control the aperture. And this is something that, you know, like I said, I've been using aperture priority mode for years because if there's one thing I have to choose or one thing I want to choose, it's my depth of field. That is really paramount in wildlife and landscape photography, really in all of nature photography. So having those creative controls over both settings is really, really important. But the thing is that third part of the triangle, so to speak, that third pillar of ISO gets, you know, it's another thing you have to think about. It's another thing you have to change on the fly. Having to change three things all at once is not only sort of time consuming, especially if you're taking a photo of a running cheetah or of an elephant, meandering across the savanna, but it also means that you have to be really, really specific, and you could, in the frenzy of getting a photo together for, especially, like I said, wildlife photography, you could botch it. You could get too much or too little light. You could really, really ruin the shot. So having that auto ISO takes not just one part of the equation out of the equation, something I don't have to think about and decide on, but I've been noticing that I'm actually getting much lower ISOs than if I were to go in and just put a quote-unquote safe ISO given the aperture and shutter speed. So I'm going to say that all again and kind of reword it because this is really, really important. If you go in on full manual and have your ISO on auto, this is how you proceed. You go ahead and look at the scene, whether it's landscape photography or you're going out for wildlife photography, and you go ahead and set the minimum shutter speed you think you need to go ahead and get the shot. So if I'm going out and photographing brown bears that are walking across a grassy meadow in Alaska, I might say, oh, you know, walking brown bears, I can shoot at 1 over 320, 1 over 400, 1 over 500. That's fine. I can set my aperture and say, okay, I want a nice portrait shot, so I'm going to have my wide open aperture. I'm going to have the lowest F number possible. With that auto ISO, the camera chooses the ISO to enable the aperture and shutter speed to line up to get an even exposure. What I've found over the years, I've been using this for a couple of years now, is that the ISO that the camera gives me is significantly lower than the ISO I would have chosen, because if I were just to choose, you know, an ISO for any sort of action movement photography, I just immediately dial in 800, I immediately dial in 1000 or 1250. And that's because I really need to play it safe. If I'm going into back-to-back photography of, again, walking or sparring brown bears, and I want to capture every single shot, every single moment, I can't risk having too low of an ISO and not getting the right exposure. So I have to set it sort of artificially high. But with that precision of the camera, analyzing what a quote-unquote perfect exposure is, an even exposure, it's actually analyzing the lighting conditions through the sensor. It's analyzing my aperture and my shutter speed, and it's saying, okay, great, given all of this, I'm going to choose the right ISO for you, and voila, I'm getting a better shot with a lower ISO each and every time. ISO is probably the least artistic part of this triangle between ISO, aperture, and shutter speed, so I don't really care what it gives me. I just need it to give me the lowest number that I can, given the lighting conditions and given the shutter speed and aperture that I'm telling the camera to use. So I really love this mode. This is my go-to now. I haven't changed off this. I have not reverted back to aperture mode. This is sort of my, this is my senior year. This is my last class, my last grade. I'm not moving off this. I think this is sort of where you ought to eventually aim to get to. Not because there's any sort of inherent pleasure in the challenge of getting to full manual, but it's going to give you better shots. It's going to give you more creative control. Of course, you still have all the ability to change the white balance and drive motor and exposure compensation, which is a big component of this. I love using manual and also being able to just quickly change my exposure. I'm finding I'm able to get so many more shots or quickly get to the exposure setting I want with that little exposure wheel. And I'm a happy camper. I love this method. This is what I'm recommending. So there you have it, folks. The grand tour of auto to manual. I hope this was helpful. Again, I spent a lot of time talking about that P for program mode because I think that is important to recognize. It's a small change, but it opens up all those other creative controls. And then from there, it's really just an incremental one-step process. You're just adding in one more element to the equation. You're adding in the choice of aperture, the choice of shutter speed, and then you find yourself at full manual. And you can choose to dial in your own ISO. If you like that, that's certainly helpful. But I find on these new cameras that allow you to be on full manual and auto ISO, that's a relatively recent thing in the last few years. I'm not sure why, but that opened the door for me in a big, big way. So I thank you so much for joining today. It's always a pleasure. If you do want to reach out, if you do want to communicate and ask some questions or suggest some new episodes, the best way is to go navigate on Instagram to the.wild.photographer. Again, that's at the.wild.photographer. Send me a message. Let's start a conversation. Check out the photos. I hope to see you out there. Well, thanks so much, folks. Enjoy.